We'll go ahead and get started. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we come before you this morning to thank you for another day of life you've given us. Beautiful sunny morning. Being able to be here, help us study your word this morning and learn and obey you as your word says to. Help the church here grow. Help us to help it to grow the best of our ability. Forgive us, God, when we fall short. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we got over chapter 3 and started in chapter 4. If you will, turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 4th chapter. We've got over 3 chapters of this book. There's 6 chapters. Very good book. Now we're going to get in chapter 4 talking about keeping unity in the church and the bond of peace, and talking about, Paul's going to talk about don't let no false teaching carry us away from the truth, verse 14. Let's go to chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses and we'll go over them. Keeping the unity of the Spirit. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I'm reading from King James Version. With all long-suffering and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay, going over these verses here. Paul, again, as you remember, beginning of the earlier, we learned that he was a prisoner of the Lord. He was in prison, I think, when he wrote this book. And he was in prison many times. And he followed the Lord very closely, didn't he? He said, he beseech you that you walk worthy. Beseech you. Kind of means like he's urging us to walk in the truth. Walk according to God's word. He urges us, more or less begs us to do this, urges us to walk worthy. Anyone wants to walk worthy? What's that mean, walking worthy? There's a lot of difference there. We can walk religiously and look good and be good people, but are we walking worthy of the Lord's teaching, like Jim said? If we don't, then I'm afraid the Lord's not going to think we're worthy of his teaching, of his what he wants us to do. He said, wherewith you are called, worthy of the vocation, that's service to our God. Serving our God, vocation. Is our service to God what he accepts, what he wants? The only way we know is go by the word, isn't it? Study and learn what he says to do and do it for all of our heart, our mind, our hearts, our minds finds to do. Do it with wholeheartedness and diligence wherein you are called. The Lord calls us to walk in his service, doesn't he? He wants us to walk in his service. As Jim said, walking worthy. Also, walking in the light, 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If you have any comments, just speak up. Go over that verse once more. The prisoner of the Lord beseech you, urge you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the service of our Lord, all his work, that we walk worthy of it, that we do it with love and do what the word says, wherein you are called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness. Lowliness and meekness. With long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Meekness is being gentle, isn't it? Gentle. Not flying off the handle with every little thing that goes wrong. Christ was a good example of meek, wasn't he? He was meek on the cross. He didn't sass back, but he had a good reason to, didn't he? He was meek. And I've said many times, meek is not being weak. We don't have to be weak as Christians. We want to be strong. Stand up for what's right. But be gentle with each other. Love one another. Long suffering. That means patient and not get impatient easily. That's not easy to do. It's easy to get impatient with people in this world. Forbearing one another in love. They're very important. We do things in love in the church. Help each other. Help our brothers in problems any way we can, or sister. Health problems, help them any way we can, or financially. Most of all, spiritually. If they're weak, we help people. Try to get them stronger by teaching God's Word. And we all get weak at times, I'm sure. We have to stay in the Word strongly to keep strong and faithful to our God. Love Him and obey Him. Endeavoring, work another in love, it says. We do it in love. Let's look at verse 3. Endeavoring, or attempting, that's attempting to do what it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Anyone want to say what the word unity means? A lot of times we read Bible verses and just kind of drift over a word, and we need to, if we don't know what it means, we need to look it up, and it makes a whole lot of difference what we're trying to study God's Word. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity. Yes. Notice, well, we're going to see here in chapter 4, if we got into it a little bit, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this, the ones. There's so many ones in here and throughout the New Testament. Like Jim, there's a lot of ones. You don't see two or four or six or 1,000. It's always one when we're talking about faith and bodies and spirits. There's one. As Jim talked about unity, it's the fact of being one. It's being united and complete in what? Harmony. God wants us to be in unity in the church, in the teaching, in completeness and in harmony. United as a whole body, and being free from variety or diversity. We don't want to be a variety of different teachings or different thinkings, do we? It's one, being free from all that variety. We can't have a variety of different beliefs. Not according to the Bible. Men started different teachings. And it's getting worse, too. More and more different. How to do this, how to do that. How to change God's Word. Well, let's add a little of this to our worship, make it better, or take it out. We can't do that. Not and please our Lord. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I believe it's in Psalms 133. It says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I believe that's what it means. And we can take that, we're talking about teaching God's Word and what He wants us to do. And there's a lot of churches of Christ maybe believe in unity in that way, but are they unified in loving one another and helping each other? There's some who will stand up for obeying the gospel and being baptized, but yet they have arguments and not get along other ways. I believe he's trying to say we need unity in teaching, doctrine, and fellowship. Any comments on three? Right. Okay, we're going to verse 4. Would someone want to read 4 through 6, please? Okay. A lot in them verses here. There's the ones again. One body, we know that's one church. One body is Lord Jesus Christ. His body is a church. One Spirit, we went over some of that. There's only one Spirit, Holy Spirit, in deity. God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even as you are called in the one hope, our hope is in our Lord and the teaching of His Word of your calling. Dave read one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's the three ones there. You know, if everyone would go by this word here in these verses, it'd save a lot of confusion in the world, wouldn't it? Thousands of different beliefs. And I'm not here to run any belief down, but if what I'm trying to get at is what God's Word says, and we can't deny it, we can't change it. So I know I can be right by going by this Word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there's many verses in God's New Testament talks about the faith. The faith is many verses. Not S on it, not faith. The faith was once delivered unto the saints in Jude chapter 1 chapter, Jude, verse 3. Contend for the faith. That's why we're here today. When we try to see that there's one faith, Jude says contend for that faith. That means stand up for it. Don't be ashamed of it. Talk about it. And then people have to give their own judgment or their own thoughts about it, whether they're going to believe it or not. But that's what the Word says. One faith, one baptism. That's, of course, immersion. That's what the word baptism means. Cover up, dip, plunge. One Lord, there it says, we know there's one God and one Father. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, one His Son. One God, it says in verse 6. One God. How many times, a lot of times we see people has many gods. They serve other gods. Whether it's money, fame, fortune, sports. And you know, anything we put before God can become our God. And it's one God we need to serve. And Father of all, He's over all, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That goes a long way, don't it? Above all, He's above everything, all principalities and powers. We read that in Romans 8. Also, He's above all of our authorities that think they know everything and try to be greedy, a lot of them. We have to pray for them. But He's over all. And whatever God wants going to happen, it'll happen. And sometimes we worry about everything. Good point. That song says it about all, doesn't it? Sometimes the scriptures make people feel bad. If you're trying to say here one, and a lot of people won't agree with that. But in order to accept what God says, we're going to have to just go by the Word, aren't we? What it says. That's as plain as day. That's why Paul told Timothy, rightly divide the Word. You rightly divide it. You study it out. I don't know how you could get confused or on this one. It says one Lord. Yeah, most people believe there's one God. Or a lot of people do. A lot of them don't. But when it comes to one faith, no. You're all wrong. Or baptism. No. That's what the book says, isn't it?
That's what they believe.
Right. It's hard to change. Like you say, it don't matter who comes here, and we can know they're a good preacher. We've had many years ago. Dave Stevens. All them guys. We still need to look in the Word and see if they're telling us the truth. You could have several gospel preachers in here. It's really intelligent, and they're not going to agree, just like Dave said. But when it comes to saving our soul, we can know what it is. If they don't agree on that, then that's their fault. Right, and that's as plain as day in here if you really want to know it. Our time just about gone. We have a few minutes there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 there, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. It goes a long way. We'll look into verse 7 here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? Next week we're going to get into, we'll read these verses again, starting verse 7. And we're going to see what these gifts are, or was, some of them. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. What they was for and what they are some for now. And we don't have prophets now in those, but we still have evangelists in verse 11, those preachers. We have pastors, elders, that is, and teachers. And what's it for? We're going to find out what all these is for and what good they are and for the church. I'll just go over verse 12 there. We have a little time. What is all these for? He gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we'll go over that next week. He says, verse 12, chapter 4, Ephesians, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work. That's what preachers and evangelists are for the work. Pastors, that's elders, for the work of the what? Ministry. And for edifying of the body of Christ, to lift up the church, to help the church grow. That's what pastors, teachers, evangelists, and that's, we still have them here today, don't we? In verse 13, and we'll stop there and then start over again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There we talked about unity a little bit ago. Unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till everyone comes in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of our Lord. This is the measure of the fullness of Christ. Very important to have unity. But we don't have it in the world, do we? We don't have it in this religious world today. And I imagine our Lord's sad at that. So we'll stop there and start next week going back over 7 and go from there. Thank you for your comments. Had a few minutes, but if you want to talk, you can talk.